Broadcasting from a secret location.
How dare you?
Deep inside John Kerry's private jet.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
This is the voice of the climate agenda resistance.
Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone.
This is Radio Free Energy.
And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
With your host, Larry Behrens.
Welcome to episode 3 of Radio Free Energy. That's right. Here in the back of John Kerry's private jet, we have dodged the green police for now, but you always got to keep one eye over your shoulder, or maybe both eyes if it would help. My name's Larry. So great to talk with you. You know, we spent the first couple of episodes kind of walking through the history so that when we talk about Joe Biden and his radical climate agenda, everyone will know that this didn't just come out of nowhere, that Joe Biden has been this radical on this issue for many, many years, probably longer than most of us have been born. And so we're going to take it up a notch now and talk about what is going on. And as we sit here, the week ending March 15th of 2024, there is a lot going on. And you know, I'm looking for good news. I really, really am. And I guess I have to say that we found some. We did. I have found that Joe Biden has shut down the border. We're going to get to all of that today. We've got inflation. We've got EVs. We've got a whole bunch of stuff coming your way, and we're going to tell it to you like it is. We are unapologetic, unafraid, and, well, unable to pay for gas. Thanks for joining us. Let's get into it. This week, your favorite Treasury Secretary of mine, Janet Yellen, who, you know, just a sweet reminder, told us back in, I think it was 2021, yes, we have inflation, but it's going to be transitory.
I believe fundamentally, you know, that this is something that will settle down.
Transitory.
And then, you know, she jetted off to China to go bow before Xi. But she's now saying this week, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that.
In 2021, you did say that inflation was transitory. Do you regret saying that now?
I regret saying it was transitory. It has come down, but I think transitory means a few weeks or months to most people.
And you know, we could just mark it up to, you know, a leader walking back their statement. And that's how the press is going to report it, right? That's what we're going to hear. And they're going to say, well, you know, she walked it back. But let's dig our hands deep into what this is really meaning. Because Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, in control of a huge part of the American economy, and she got it wrong.
Better believe the experts or we all die.
She got it so terribly wrong. And that's giving her the benefit of the doubt that she got it wrong, right? There could be a strong case to be made that she's an intentional liar, that she knew inflation would be this bad. She was just hoping we were too dumb to notice. I don't know about you, but I have this weird addiction to food, and my dealer is the grocery store. And every time I walk into the grocery store over the last 3 years, and I see prices go higher and higher and higher, and the items in my cart get less and less and less for how much more and more and more money. That's right, I'm doing it in threes. We have to ask ourselves, do they really think that we're not going to believe our own lying eyes? So thankfully, she said, you know, I probably shouldn't have said it was transitory. And she also said this week. Janet Yellen warns inflation decline might not be smooth. That's right. Let me give you a moment to, I don't know, maybe upchuck a little bit.
Oh man, I think I'm going to puke.
Janet Yellen, who nearly 3 years ago said this is going to be transitory, don't worry about it. And you know what? Her job has been safe. She's been able to jet off on the taxpayer dime. I'm sure grocery bills are not a concern for Janet Yellen. But now she says, gosh darn it, it's not going to be smooth. She said it earlier this week that inflation could face a bumpy return to normal after back-to-back reports showed that the price pressures within the U.S. economy rebounded at the start of the year. But did they, though? Come around, kids. Let me just tell you. I'm going to give you the lie that Joe Biden, not just probably one, sure,
But the biggest lie Joe Biden's going to tell you for the next 10 months, when he says inflation is cooling, that is a lie.
The time has come. Now, detonate the reality bomb!
So work with me on this. Let's go back to June 2022, and we're all paying $5 a gallon for gasoline, the highest rate ever. And so that's when Joe Biden decided, and keep in mind, he caused it, right? So the arsonist has set 10 fires, and that's now where he pegs success. Joe Biden is trying to tell you, I only set 10 houses on fire this month. Arson is cooling. It is the same with inflation. It is a lagging indicator. And so in other words, when you hear the inflation number, it is for the previous month. So as we sit here in March, we see inflation for February, right? But when they say this is the inflation rate, they're only comparing it for the previous 12 months. So that is February 2023 to February 2024. And I hate to get all weedy on it, but this is the game that Joe Biden plays. And so the whole, you know, gas was $5 a gallon, that is already baked in. So if it continues to tick up, that is not just a slight tick up over the last 12 months. There's a little thing called composite inflation. And that is the total amount of inflation since Joe Biden took office. And that is nearly at 20% if you take in all the prices that we're paying for right now. It's even more when you take in energy. How's your electric bill doing?
It sucks, man. It sucks real bad.
According to a lot of studies, it is up nearly 40% since Joe Biden took office. The green agenda has a radical cost. And Joe Biden isn't paying it. Janet Yellen isn't paying it. You and I and working families are paying it. And so when she just arrogantly goes and says, you know, I shouldn't have said it's transitory, and the decline might not be smooth. I mean, that's like we're flying in a jet and both wings have fallen off already. All the passengers know it's not working. And the pilot comes over the intercom and says, landing might not be smooth. You think we haven't been dealing with the pressure prices the whole time? It gets worse. And we're going to hear some of the Biden language in this story. This was out of the Wall Street Journal this week. I'll read you the title and then we'll get into the stories. And first of all, thank you if you stuck with me this far. It's going to get bumpy. It might not be smooth, as Janet Yellen would say. We still don't believe how much things cost. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Deodorant is what changed Rob Cooper's mind about the economy. After paying under $4 for his signature Old Spice Stronger Swagger. By the way, I saw Stronger Swagger open for Counting Crows in 1994. After paying $4 for that deodorant for a decade, the 49-year-old was shocked last year to see it priced at $7.99, a.k.a. double. Listen, I'm sure this gentleman, Rob, I'm sure you're a great guy. But you're 49 years old. You should know how inflation works. It should not shock you that your deodorant jumped up that high. Have you been seeing what happened? I mean, did you put gas in the car before you went to the store to get the deodorant? And here's where we're going to get a lot of digressions today. Here's where we need to understand that when I say energy is a foundational part of the American economy, I'm not just saying that because I'm the energy guy. I'm saying that because it is. Everything that is in your house requires energy in its extraction, in its production, in its refinement, in its transportation, in its maintenance. It requires energy. And when the underlying cost of that energy goes up, the price for all of those things is going to go up. And when the prices for everything goes up, well, then that it has an effect that we're still seeing. Why do you think your homeowner's insurance is through the roof? Because the materials it takes to put things together when they file claims, it's all gone up because energy's gone up. Declaring war on American energy, as Joe Biden has done, comes with a price. And for Rob here, that price is $3.99 extra for his Stronger Swagger.
Daddy likes to smell good.
He said consumer behavior and researchers call Cooper's expectation of $4 deodorant a reference price. All right, so let's get down to it right now. What is your reference price? Really, for a gallon of milk? Is it $2.99, $1.99? What is your reference price for a dozen eggs? So think about your reference prices for these things. In other words, you've gone to the store for a couple years or many years in some cases, and you've expected with a little bit of fluctuation the price of certain items to be in the area. But now we've seen it all go through. The reference price is what really got me. The story goes on. A years-long run of higher prices has unmoored many Americans' expectations of what daily purchases should cost, from a cup of coffee to a package of paper towels. Shoppers are also put off. That's my favorite part. Beside paying so much more for so much less, shoppers are also put off. That is the number one issue for us. The price is the number one issue. Shoppers are also put off by paying the same or higher prices for smaller amounts of stuff, what's known as shrinkflation. Oh, man, we're already getting to the Snickers bar, aren't we? We'll get to it a little bit. We're going to talk about the State of the Union coming up. So altogether, researchers say people no longer feel they're getting the value they once did, you think? And that is souring the national mood. So here's the line you need to watch out for the next a few months.
Warning, warning. Liberal spin alert incoming.
And this is the Wall Street Journal, not a liberal crazy guy like the New York Times. The pace of inflation has slowed to 3.2% from its peak in June 2022. Again, that is Joe Biden the arsonist trying to convince you that things are better from the disaster that he caused. Oh, should I even talk about Russia and Putin? Well, we'll get to it real bad. So 3.2%, first of all, let's go back to, you can read them, you can go online. What did the experts think that inflation was going to be before they announced the numbers this week? It wasn't 3.2, because all the stories after that comes in higher than expected. And this is what I love. And this is where we're going to go with this segment. Just like Janet Yellen, the expert, said that things were just transitory and everything was going to be just fine. Well, lo and behold, the experts thought that inflation was going to be just a little bit lower. But if they had done what you and I have to do, go into a grocery store, go into to buy anything anywhere, do you think anyone would rationally believe that inflation is cooling? But hey, thanks to Janet Yellen. She now feels sorry that she called it transitory. And she's warning you, the decline might not be smooth. While you're standing around the flames, she's warning you that the temperature may be a little hot. Thanks, Janet. Thanks to the Biden administration. I'll just put it like this. There has always been a disconnect between Washington and the real world. And yeah, I said it right. And it's Republican, Democrat. It's across the board, right? But never, at least in my lifetime, has this giant chasm of reality distortion been there between Washington and everyone else. And I get it. They want to spend, if there is one positive number out of 1,000, they will spend all day talking about that one positive number. That's just political communications 101. I get all of that. But to completely ignore the pain Americans are going through, it only leads to one of two conclusions. And this is something we need to think about, is one, are they just naive? Okay. I mean, these are the same guys that lost their Secretary of Defense for I don't know how many days. So naivete may be part of it. But two, and this is where I think most of us lie, is that they believe that we are too stupid to believe our own lying eyes. That if they say something and their sycophants, parrots in the media echo it over and over, and their paid shills on social media, yeah, I see you, TikTok, echo it over and over and over again, that all of a sudden that the droning voices of this is how it is, this is how it is, will make us believe that that's really how it is. Yeah, they're lying to you. They're not being naive about what it is. They are lying. And it's really that simple. So coming up, we're going to talk about Joe Biden's fiery performance at the State of the Union. Yeah, I know you've talked about, heard enough about the State of the Union, but you haven't heard this. And I guarantee you're gonna feel a little deja vu. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi. This is AI Joe Biden, and when I'm not running the country into the ground, I've got the speakers on Air Force One blaring Radio Free Energy. It's worth a trip up the stairs every time. Do I get my ice cream now?
Welcome back to Radio Free Energy. Well, you stuck it through that fake ad, did you? Good for you. I'm so proud of you. And don't say it. Don't hurt my feelings. Don't be like, yeah, Larry, the fake ad was the best part of what's going on here. Fine. But you know what? At least I don't plagiarize myself. And so it was just over a week ago, your president and mine gave his fiery, according to the media, his fiery State of the State speech. And let me just talk to you about why it may be fiery. And I'm not just talking about the Adderall. Let's get into it. Now, a little history lesson again, because, you know, past is prologue. Few of you would remember it now, but way back in 1988, ancient times, black and white photos. Way back in 1988, Joe Biden ran for president. And he had to, you know, hop out of that race. Because, as I mentioned in previous shows, he got caught with a little bit of the plagiarism, a little bit of the copying of the words, specifically in his speeches and in maybe even going back to law school, they say. So he's been a plagiarizer and a cheater for a long time. Probably not something new, but he had to get out of the race because in 1988, it mattered. I guess being a liar to this degree, welcome to 2024, where it's all okay. But upon leaving the race, he said he vowed he would be back. In fact, here it is.
There will be other opportunities. There will be other battles in other places, other times. And I'll be there.
So now he's back. But did you know he's also still copying words? During his most recent State of the Union address, President Biden repeated a familiar line. This was him in the 2024, the most recent State of the Union address.
Creating tens of thousands of clean energy jobs like the IBEW workers building and installing 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations.
And this was him in 2023.
We'll build a national network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations.
And this is Joe Biden in 2022.
We're going to build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations.
Now, that's Joe Biden, who's only given three State of the Unions, copying the same line over and over. And I know what you're saying. Larry, he's talking about a specific policy point, and he wants to celebrate that he got it done. But does he, though? So each year, Joe Biden has promised to build those 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. Hurrah! We're going to use your money to subsidize things no one wants. Yet, the results don't quite match that rhetoric that he's said for 3 years in a row. So last December, it was reported that after he got $7.5 billion from taxpayers to fulfill his charging promise, the number of EV charging stations built by the Biden administration as of December, exactly zero. So $7.5 billion, exactly zero. But don't fret. Don't worry about it. You cynical people. Because it's all fixed now, just a few days after that report came out in December of 2023, the team Biden rushed out a press release to announce they were actually building two charging stations.
I am the smart, S-M-R-T, S-M-A-R-T.
Don't worry, it's no longer zero. This is the thing that Joe Biden has repeated for 3 years in a row. He has $7.5 billion. And he's built two charging stations. Now listen, the national debt racing toward $35 trillion. But I think even our crazy Bernie Sanders granola-eating free trade hippie friends would agree that $3.75 billion per electric vehicle charging station may be a little too much overspend. So, sadly, the 500,000 promise, it's not the only thing that he's recycled as part of a State of the Union. So I'm going to give a listen to this comparison real quick. And it's interesting because I counted about 15 lines that Joe Biden has repeated between his speech that he gave just a few days ago, maybe a few weeks, and the one he gave last year. Go ahead and listen to this.
Build the economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down. To build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down. When the middle class grows, the poor have a way up and the wealthy do very well. Because when the middle class does well, the poor have a ladder up and the wealthy still do very well. We'll build a national network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. We're going to build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations, 10,000 new jobs. It's going to create 10,000 jobs. There's been a law on the books for almost a century to make sure taxpayers' dollars support American jobs and businesses. Buy America has been the law since 1933, but we're actually doing it. We'll buy America, using federal infrastructure projects to be made in. That we'd all agree that the present tax system ain't fair. The tax system is not fair. It is not fair. We sit at a dining room table or a kitchen table, chairs at the dining room table, constantly reminding you. The only nation that can be defined by a single word, possibilities. I can define it in one word, and I mean this, possibilities. I'm a capitalist. Look, I'm a capitalist. But capitalism without competition is not capitalism. Capitalism without competition is exploitation. Capitalism without competition is not capitalism. It's extortion.
So quickly, just so folks know, no word on if paying the fair share of taxes applies to Hunter Biden or the 10% for the big guy, but I digress. So despite the liberal media fawning over President Biden's most recent State of the Union, let's be clear. Many Americans are questioning his cognitive abilities, his mental capacity to do the job. Just this month, one poll, as reported by Time magazine, found that nearly 60% of Americans, 6 out of 10 of us, are either not very or not at all confident in Joe Biden's mental abilities. Now, the leftist punditry can, parrot the fiery comment all they want, but the evidence shows President Biden relies on the same words and statements every year. So maybe perhaps he's so fiery because it was his third performance with the same script. And more importantly, the reputation of failed promises belies the true intentions of the president's climate agenda. Here's what he does. He secures the money, and then he uses it as a slush fund. You notice what wasn't mentioned in his State of the Union address this year? A little thing called the Inflation Reduction Act. Not only, as I mentioned, has inflation continued to rise, but the bulk of the bill of his Inflation Reduction Act, a whopping $369 billion, is a green slush fund. Simply put, if his $500,000 electric vehicle charging station failure is any indication, this green slush fund will be mismanaged as well.
If I vote how they tell me, then they'll send me those sweet green dollars, baby. Cha-ching.
Well, Biden vowed to return after that 1988 plagiarism scandal, and he made good on that promise. But now he is here recycling the same lines from the same script for years in a row. That's not going to help us. That's not going to help anything that we are trying to accomplish here in the United States of America. It's definitely not going to help your grocery bill. And so here's a little exchange. The Hur report, right? Robert Hur, special counsel into Joe Biden's, handling of secret classified docs. Remember that whole, he's a well-meaning elderly old man, and he just can't stand trial because he has memory lapses. They released the transcript from that. And here's a back and forth, and full disclosure, this is all in AI, but it is the actual transcript. Here is Robert Hur trying to find out what secret documents may have been in and around Joe Biden's Corvette. And Joe Biden, absentmindedly, can't stop talking about EVs. Here's the exchange.
Vroom. Probably one of the best parts to being vice president and president. I get to drive all these, electric vehicles I have. Damn, they were quick. Think about this. You had one of those big 4x4s, I think it's a Ford Bronco, whatever it is, 0 to 60 in 4.6.
Yes, that's fast.
By the way, do you know how it works? It's really cool.
Sir, I would love to hear much more about this, but I do have a few more questions to get through.
So this is the guy we're dealing with. And when I look at 6 out of 10 Americans are concerned about his mental capacity, I don't freak out other than to wonder, where are the other 40%? What are they thinking? Here you have a guy that has to plagiarize his own State of the Union addresses. He can't, you know, in a questioning with a special counsel where he could face charges. I mean, we all know he wouldn't, but potentially he could. He's making car noises to talk about how great an EV is. He doesn't remember where his store docs are. He doesn't remember if they're classified or not. He definitely doesn't remember, wink, that he gave them to his ghost writer. But when it was found that he was lying about it, he did what any real leader does. He blamed his staff. So coming up, we got a little more coming in with the EVs, but something else that we need to tell you about. Let me just warn you, the green shirts are coming. We'll be right back.
Hello, my fellow Americans. This is AI Donald Trump, and I know you love Radio Free Energy as much as I do. It's a truly fantastic experience. So be sure to give us a good rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's not build a wall between us and the truth. Share Radio Free Energy today.
And we're back. Is everyone hearing me okay? Probably not, but we'll try to keep it together and see. And we'll get through this last segment together. If we don't, I'm sure John Kerry's about to land at Davos, and so I can definitely go for some Swiss chocolate right now. He said, not knowing if Davos is even in Switzerland. So here's, as we sit here, the week ending March 15th, 2024, I want to give you not just the history lesson. In fact, we're kind of done with the history lessons. Let's look forward, shall we? Let's see what we had to look forward to. And so I'm gonna tear through these so fast you don't even know. So when Biden's not making car noises during a special counsel interview, his administration is trying to slow their tailpipe rules. Not a euphemism. It's a real thing. And so here's what's going on. And this is the Joe Biden that we know. Instead of passing something through Congress where we can all discuss it and have an idea of what's going on, Joe Biden does these things called executive rules. Different than executive order, but he has his army of bureaucrats, which is in every little nook and cranny of the deep state of Washington, and they start writing these rules. And the accountability of it is supposed to be that you can comment on them because, while you're struggling to pay your bills, while you're scanning the credit card, you're supposed to be looking at this thing called the Federal Register where they put out the proposed rules. And then you comment and say you don't like it. But it is let me just try to boil it down. It's a unilateral action. It's an executive edict. When he tried to take your gas stove, that was coming from a bureaucratic wing. When he tries to take your gas-powered lawnmowers, that's through a bureaucratic wing. None of that stuff went through Congress. But he's using these things, A, because no person in Congress wants to be on the record for voting for Joe Biden's crazy agenda, and B, he can get it done a lot faster and with much less accountability. So along those lines, here's what he's been doing. He has been bringing forth a de facto electric vehicle mandate. And so I know what they were going to say. They're saying, no, he hasn't. Absolutely, he has. And here's how they're tricky about it. Joe Biden's administration, this is from your friends at Reuters, Joe Biden's administration is set to ease proposed yield requirements through 2020 of its sweeping plan to aggressively cut tailpipe emissions. So what they're doing is he's using his EPA and he's going to pass one of these rules and they're going to say tailpipe emissions can only be such and such and such and such. And they have, I guess they feel the authority to do that. But what it is they're going to make those restrictions so onerous that only EVs would qualify. So that's like saying, I'm going to stick you in a room. I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to take all the oxygen out. Kind of like we fixed the glitch. And this is what they're doing. They're not saying it's an EV mandate. No. We're cutting tailpipe emissions. No, you're making it so any car built that has an internal combustion engine would never meet these emissions. You're dragging them so low that only your little EV friends would do it. And that's how we get to a de facto EV mandate. But thankfully, and I say that truthfully, with all sincerity, thankfully, we're in an election year. And Joe Biden is sweating re-election. And so coming out later next week, they're going to put down this proposed rule. It's still expected to be pretty nasty, but not nearly as nasty as it could have been because he knows this. The 2023 was the year the EV bubble burst. And we're going to get it, you know, besides the fact when he was talking to the special counsel about it, didn't know what he was talking about. So automakers and the United Auto Workers have urged the Biden administration to slow the proposed ramp up in EV sales. They say the technology is still too costly for many mainstream U.S. customers and that more time is needed to develop the charging infrastructure. So we are getting now a little look at practical Joe Biden, compromising Joe Biden. See, I'm not forcing you to buy EVs by 2030. I'm going to do it by 2031. He's slowing his forced mandate on you. And that's expected to make him look more practical as he heads out to re-election. Tailpipe rules, they're going to come out next Wednesday. The long wait for EPA's final tailpipe emission rules in cars and trucks is almost over. They're going to put it out on March 20th. And it's supposed to be much, much worse. The final rule is now expected to be somewhat more modest than the initial swing, with a slower ramp up in EV sales, but then a quicker acceleration after 2030. See, the 2032 goal of 2/3 of new cars and light trucks sold in the U.S. being electric would remain. He's not changing. He's trying to make you think that he's a rational, practical guy in an election year. This is what it is. And when you know, just before we hop off the EV, no pun intended, let's just be clear. Anybody, Governor Biden, whoever, who is hollering at you about EV mandates and says we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they don't drive an EV themselves. Isn't that right, John Kerry? That's right. I'm in his plane. So here's something that Joe Biden dropped during his State of the Union that not a lot of folks picked up on, but it's something you need to know. As I mentioned, national debt is racing towards $35 trillion. President Biden released his budget proposal this week. And let me give you two numbers. The first number, 4.7. The second number is 8. Now I'm going to ask you, which number do you think is for the border? And which number do you think is for Joe Biden's new army of green shirts? I'll wait while you think about it. $4.7 billion, paltry amount when you consider his Inflation Reduction Act had $3.69 billion. $4.7 is supposed to go to, you know, a cursory try to stop gap something at the border. That's what Joe Biden is proposing. But let's get into something else. The budget proposal made good on Biden's pledge during his State of the Union to triple the numbers in what he calls the Climate Corps. That's right, boys and girls. You love the Peace Corps. You love the Civilian Conservation Corps. Coming at you now, the Climate Corps. And it's so refreshing because I, like you, I have seen those poor misguided children when they're throwing the spaghetti at Mona Lisa, or when they're dumping the red powder on the Constitution, or when they, you know, by golly, they just love the earth so gosh darn much they have to fly to Amsterdam and glue themselves to some road. I've wondered, where are these kids going to get a job? That gender studies basket weaving degree has to be good for something. Well, now it is. Your president of mine has proposed $8 billion for a new climate corps. And let's just get into it. You are going to hear, and you're already hearing, comparisons. Oh, look, FDR did it. You know what FDR did? It's like FDR. No, not at all. When you look at things like the Peace Corps, when you look at things like AmeriCorps, what do those things have in common? They're usually volunteer. You do them or in the case of the Peace Corps, you do it so that it looks good on your CIA application. I kid, intelligence community, but you know I'm right. And so they do these things a little altruistically, but now we're going to do Climate Corps because I guess they're going to need some green shirts to come to your door and tell you that your gas stove is no longer sufficient, and they're going to report on you. And I half-hearted joke when I call them green shirts, but that's where we are. 20,000. And the first ones, here's my least favorite part. The first ones are supposed to be hired here in the next few months. Joe Biden wants this Climate Corps up and running by the fall. Now, you have to ask yourself, what would be happening in the fall of 2024 where Joe Biden would want 20,000 paid volunteers out doing? And when I say paid, not paid by his campaign. No, not paid by any political action committee. Paid by your tax dollars and mine. Let's be clear. This is Joe Biden's effort to have a whole, let's just call him a campaign core, that will be taxpayer funded. And that then, do you think that they are going to push any other agenda besides what Greta is telling them to push, besides what John Kerry is telling them to push, besides what John Podesta is telling them to push? No. So do you get more Border Patrol agents? No. You do get more IRS agents. So imagine a year from now. I have to laugh to keep from crying. Imagine a year from now, you've sent that $601 Venmo to your buddy who, you know, maybe needed to afford some groceries. And lo and behold, the IRS says, nope, what was that money for? Because they can track that now. And then when they come by your house to investigate, then a member of the climate corps finds a gas-powered leaf blower in your garage. Oh my gosh, Guantanamo is in your future. And I say it sarcastically, but you know there's more than a tinge of truth to it. But I'm going to end with some good news today. If you can handle it, I'm not sure, because as much as Joe Biden needs to close down the border, here's what I learned this week. He's already done it. The border is closed. This is from the Los Angeles Times. California man is the first in the United States to be charged with smuggling greenhouse gases. Yes, it's true. Let's get into the story from the Los Angeles Times. A San Diego man has been arrested on suspicion of smuggling potent greenhouse gases into the United States from Mexico, becoming the first man in the nation, first person in the nation, I don't judge, to be charged with smuggling the environmentally harmful gases that are commonly used as refrigerants, according to federal prosecutors. So, Chinese national, come on over. Oh, murderer, oh, we'll hold you for a second, then we're going to let you go. What is that, 50 pounds of fentanyl? Okay, buddy, don't use it all in one place. Come across. Come into the nation. What is that? Is that a can of Aquanet? Guantanamo Bay for you. We're going to put you with that guy who had the gas-powered leaf blower. Oh, my gosh. So Joe Biden can close the border for a guy with a can of Aquanet or WD-40 or whatever else they pegged him with. Oh, yeah, it's a refrigerant. So Freon, can't bring the Freon in. But he can't close the border to the crime, to the drugs, and to the misery that is pouring into our communities. This is the priorities of this president. This is what we are going through. And this is why it's more important than ever to know what is going on in not only in Washington, but in your community. Because here's where it gets fun. And here's where I'll leave it today. The left does this so much better than we do. Pay attention to your county commission. Pay attention to your city council. Definitely pay attention to your school board. And all the things that they are doing. Because the left looks at those as the minor leagues of baseball. Yes, they are maybe just on some rural water board today. But tomorrow they could be a state legislator. Day after that, they could be in Congress. How about after that? They could be a senator. And they seed the ground with their prospects. And it happens in our neighborhoods. And don't think, and I'm telling you because I've seen it, pick a small town in rural America, and all of a sudden you have the local green crazy guy who seems to be well-funded in his run for mayor or well-funded in her run for city council. And you have to ask yourself, what is going on? Where are they getting this money from? And it's not a conspiracy. Michael Bloomberg has done this. So they get elected to office because it takes $20,000, $30,000, and they're the mayor. And then what happens? Somebody calls up the New York Times and said, hey, did you know that there's this green mayor in rural America who feels that the climate agenda is the right thing for all of us? And New York Times splashes it everywhere. Look at this guy bucking the trend. You think all rural? No. It was all what we call in the communications world, AstroTurf. So, I say all of that to say this. At least pay attention to what's going on in your community. Absolutely keep an eye towards Washington and an eye towards the presidential election. But look at what is going on in your community, because today's activist on an unimportant little community board is tomorrow's congressman and maybe even tomorrow's president. I've seen it happen. Barack Obama came out of nowhere, didn't he? And it can happen again. And if you want to get really crazy, if you want to stand up for your way of life in your community, why don't you get really crazy and run for office yourself? And I don't mean that in any sarcastic. I'm 100,000% serious. Because we have a guy running things in Washington who has to plagiarize himself. He believes in the green agenda so much he recycles his line. We need people that will stand up and stand in their communities for what is right, because that's where it began.
Quick! It's the Green Police! Run for cover, man!
Oh, that one really got him mad. Here they come. That's right, Green Police is on us, but we'll be back next week. We'll talk about those EV rules. We'll talk about a whole lot more. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, if you want to send us an email, feel free, radiofreeenergy@protonmail.com. I know I hear the sirens. And also, feel free, if you're getting a kick out of the podcast, give us a nice rating, give us a subscription, and then send us a $1 billion check. Okay, maybe just do 2 out of those 3. Thanks, and we'll join you next week.
This has been Radio Free Energy, the voice of the climate agenda resistance, with your host, Larry Behrens. Until next time, keep up the fight against the Green New Steel.